Kitty, yeah, okay.
So it sounds like that if we can't think of a mistake that God made, maybe there's no mistakes. Maybe God didn't make mistakes. Did Jesus make some mistakes? Like what?
I don't know.
Well, if you can't think of one, then you can't. You got to say Jesus didn't make mistakes either. Okay? I mean, if you think about it, if you can't think of a mistake, then the opposite must be true, huh? That's what I figure. Okay. So, but what we celebrate today is that God gave Jesus new life when he had been in the tomb yet. And we celebrate that. And you know what that does? That really gives us a lot of hope. Sometimes things happen in our lives that make us really sad, or things happen that really scare us, and it, when that happens, it kind of puts a lid on our hope. But when we remember what God did for Jesus, then that gives us hope all the time, okay? And so what I've got here this morning, I'm going to need your help, okay? Well, there's candy in here. And I'm going to ask you all to share it with everyone. And what I want you to do first, well, okay, I want everyone who's sitting down back there to get one of these
Haribo
hot bunny hoppers or whatever. Okay, so okay, but if I don't have enough of them, then I want you to give them. Yeah.
That's a lot of candy.
Yeah. Here, take these first, okay?
Taking a ton.
Okay, take these.
Bubble wrap.
Yeah, we gotta get. Yes, you can give one to yourself. And children, while we're doing this, we're not going to be disruptive. Here's one. Okay. Okay, now we'll ask people to raise their hand if they didn't get one. Whoa, look at, oh, these. Okay, yep. No. Here, take these. My hands are bigger.
Okay.
Raise your hand if you don't have one yet. Oh, over here. Okay, here. There's some over here that raised their hands.
Okay.
Anyone else? Everyone got one?
Oh,
Suzanne didn't get one. Yep, okay. Okay. Okay.
It's on the right. Our first scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Here the Apostle Paul talks about the resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Now, bell choir.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and chapter 1, verse 1, the resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as I told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
I've been around the church for 30 plus years now, but I learned something this week about the gospel, about scripture, that I did, and about the life in Jesus' time that I didn't know before. And that is that there was an edict that if one removed a dead body, that one, or whoever did that, would be killed. It was a crime to move a dead body. I think about that as I remember the fear that the Gospels talk about. The women mentioned, in the drama, that it wasn't safe for the men. But the gospel closed, the reading for today closed, with the women being frightened also. Who got the hair bows? Okay. All right. Have you eaten them yet? Okay. Well, you can... don't have to eat them now if you don't want to, but there's a commercial on television. And the setting is like a boardroom. And adults are sitting all around the boardroom, and a woman comes in and sits down, and she says, "Let's talk about hairball gold bears." That's supposed to be my little kid's voice. And someone else says, "I can't stop eating the orange ones. The red one is more gooder to me. It tastes like berries. It has a juicy flavor to it," another said. And then a woman is pushing one down and she says, "This one is really squishy." A woman is playing with hers and she says, "My bear does backflips." And another voice says, "Then I'm going to fly it around right into my mouth." It's a cute commercial. The message that we are supposed to get from it is that we can become children again. Or maybe the message is that there remains within each one of us a child that delights at candy that you can play with. Think about that message. There's a child within each one of us. There's all kinds of commercials on television that give us different messages. There's a message that tells us that we need to go for the gusto because that's life. Other messages tell us that if you have this, then you are worth something. And if you have this car, your worth is a lot more. In our world, we hear that we will feel safer if we have a wall. We will be better off if we have a tax cut. Mine is bigger than yours. So that means I'm better than you. We have these messages that are empty promises to us. At annual conference one year, the adult leader of the conference youth said that he would have his head shaved, that youth could shave his head if they raised a certain amount of money during conference. He got his head shaved. It was not an empty promise. We know about empty promises. All of us have received them from time to time, and we may have given them, not intending that they would be empty promises, but it was something that we could not fulfill. And so it really meant nothing when we made that promise. And today we have another kind of empty promise that has come true that we celebrate. Jesus said, I will raise again on the third day, and the tomb will be empty. And that empty promise was fulfilled. There's all kinds of promises that we have been given by God. And there's promises that Jesus gave us. The only empty promise has to do with that tomb. The rest of the promises are truth for us. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. This seems like an incredible contradiction. Another translation said, whoever hates his life here when we stop chasing things that we're tempted into being and believing, when we stop chasing those things that really have nothing to do with our life, then we discover the life that Jesus is talking about. One of the promises that is made to us is that God loves us regardless.
God loves us. Not always happy with us, but loves us. And there's nothing we can do about that. We are told that when we follow Jesus, there will be reward for us, but there's also going to be sacrifice. And as we remember back to this week, the days that we walked through, we remember the casting the money changers out of the temple. We remember that Jesus angered the Jewish leaders. We remember that he was betrayed, and we remember that he was denied, and we remember that he carried that cross. We are also reminded that when we carry our cross, there are other choices that we are not able to make. If we choose the cross, that eliminates other choices for us. So there's sacrifice. Jesus said, you are my friends when you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because the servant doesn't know what the master's plans are. But I'm telling you, I've called you friends because I have shared with you everything that I know of the Father. I call you friends. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. And in the cross and in the resurrection, that is what happened. That bridge that needed to be established between humanity and God, that bridge has been built. And when we step on that bridge, and when we cross that bridge, and when we meet God, we do so in the relationship of friend. Think about your friends and what you can give and take. And that's the relationship that we have with God through Jesus because of the empty tomb. We have joy beyond measure. And it's not the kind of joy that we have when something delights us or something makes us happy. The joy is a deep sense, a deep knowing that we are not alone, a deep knowing that we are loved, and that God's love for the whole world is as deep as the love that God has for us. A promise. I wonder sometimes if we don't lose out a little bit on Easter morning, because we've read the story. If we've been around in the church for a lot of years, we hear the story every year. We know how it ends. What must it have been like for those first people who went to the tomb? In Mark, they didn't go tell say anything because of their fear. In other Gospels, they go running back and they tell the disciples, and the disciples dismiss them. Or the disciples go and see for themselves. But they didn't understand what it meant. And perhaps in that we are like them. Because we need to discover day by day what it means in our lives And as you hear that, say, what it means in my life that Jesus was given new life. I know what that meant when I first became a Christian. But it doesn't mean the same thing this year, because I'm not the same person this year. And that's part of why we need to celebrate new life every year, because we're different people every year. This day, Christ is risen. That changes our lives. That changes who we are, and it changes what the world can be through us. We don't have to be in fear the way the first Christians were. And it may hit us the way it hit them when Jesus walked in that upper room. Oh, wow, there he is. But we see Jesus whenever, wherever there is need. The group of the eight couples who went to Hayesville, did I say the right town? Hayesville, North Carolina, for Holy Week. I know they met Jesus there, because there were people there who needed what others could give. That had to have been one of the most holy weeks you have ever experienced. Let us follow Jesus wherever he is. Let us love him and care for him as we are cared for and loved. Amen. I invite the ushers to come and receive. Am I wrong? You're right, I'm wrong. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now I invite the ushers to come and receive our gifts of thanksgiving. Let us pray together. Holy God, we give you thanks for your saving love made known to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Bless these gifts that they may bring life on earth as in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And as we prepare to pray. Let me lift up some people for you, names. Mary Ellen Brockman was in the hospital in Madison and has been moved to a nursing home in Wisconsin Dells for rehab, hopes to gain her strength back. Sherry Rogers has been undergoing chemotherapy for ovarian cancer and is looking to have some surgery in the next few weeks. We want to remember her. And prayers for Peggy Litcher-Remensko, Nyla and Wilbur's daughter. She lives in Columbia, Maryland, and she's going to begin a year-long treatments for breast cancer. So we want to keep all of them in our prayers. Let us pray. Gracious God, what are we to make of this day? When graves are opened, when the dead awaken, when life refuses to be contained, we celebrate Christ today because you have made it clear that death does not have the last word, because you have filled us again with hope and faith, and because you give to us new possibilities, visions, realities. You give to us a new way of being. Open our minds to believe what we cannot explain. Open our hearts to hope for what we cannot see, and open our lives to live and to love in the midst of death and despair. Let resurrection happen for us again this day. We need to have the stone be rolled away again. We need life to break out within us, and especially for those who need physical healing. We need life to break out within us when our spirits have been damaged, when our emotions are hurting. Resurrect us today, O Lord. Make us agents of your life wherever people are sick, where they're dying, where grief holds sway. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen. All right, let's celebrate irrepressible life. Let's open our hearts to the joy and wonder of infinite possibility, of unquenched hope, and eternal resurrection. We celebrate, we raise our voices and our hearts in worship and thanksgiving to the God who lives. Resurrection happened because Christ first was willing to die. Defying death, he refused to release his hold on life and love. So now, as he has encouraged us, we choose to remember so that we too may truly live. At supper on the night before he died, Jesus took bread and blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken so that you might have life. Eat it and remember me." After the meal, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. Then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my blood, shed so that you may know life. Drink it and remember me." So now, Lord of life, we share in this meal, we celebrate together, and we remember you. We continue to do this until the resurrection has flooded the whole creation. Pour your spirit out on us and on these gifts of bread and the cup. May they be for us your very presence. And may we who want to share this meal be joined with you and with one another as one body in resurrection life, sharing with all of creation your eternal salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray as the Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
In the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a feast that God prepares for all God's children. In the United Methodist Church, we have open communion. All are welcome to come and celebrate the bread and the cup. In the bread, we receive food that our spirits need, and in the drink, our thirst is quenched. Come. This morning, we will have a communion by modified intinction, which means we will give you a piece of the bread, and there will be people who are holding the cups on either side of us, and you can take that then. Who's going to be serving with me? Come forward, please. And if anyone needs gluten-free bread, I do have that. Come to the feast that's prepared by God.
cup of karma.
Let us pray. We thank you, all God, for your life revealed in Jesus, renewed in resurrection and available to us now. Thank you for touching us again with your life through bread and the cup, for joining our lives with yours through Jesus, and for renewing resurrection in our hopes through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 310, He Lives. God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. I did a check and I was looking for it and looking for it. Oh, not used to happen. Yeah. Kids did a really, really nice job. You separate the envelopes and the checks, probably, huh?
Get in there so I can help.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, okay.